Broadcasting from the historic 1047 studios nestled in beautiful downtown Valley City, it's the Toast and Jam Podcast. 30 minutes of local sports, trivia, news, and special guests. Hosted by Tim Oast and Paul McDonald. Sit back, relax, and let the fun begin.
Toast and Jam is your connection for sports and more in Valley City and the region. I'm Tim Oast, or Toast. Here's Paul McDonald, or Jam.
I'm jamming.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah, you too. Speaking of jam and toast. Yeah,
you can have toast.
Wasn't that the Peanuts cartoon? They had toast, jelly beans, and popcorn.
Before the turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do toast and jam in the morning and then have turkey in the afternoon.
I like it.
I do too.
That'll work.
Yeah. First comes us, you know.
And exactly. Then the turkey. First. We're the appetizer.
Toast and Jam is broadcast every Tuesday from the 1047 studios in the Valley City Times Record Building in beautiful Valley City. And you can listen to this week's show or any of our shows on the following.
On the following? Is that what you said?
That's your cue.
Is that my cue? We can go to Spotify. You can go to Apple Podcasts. Of course, the best place to catch all of our shows is at toastandjam.com. Mm-hmm. That's where we have the trivia question. We have all our past episodes. Yeah. It is the fastest growing and hottest show in the podcast industry.
I think it is. We get calls every week.
We do.
Yeah. How come you're taking us over? Toast and Jam is sponsored by the North Dakota Army National Guard, and our trivia is sponsored by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilving, agent. Thanks again to our fabulous executive producer, Eric Kringley. And I have something for him in here, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We always like to think about our executive producer.
We throw him a bone now and again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to get started by introducing our special guest this week, Brian Janisch. Brian, welcome to Toast and Jam.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you guys. I feel like I'm on the hot seat.
It'll get toasty over there.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get toasty.
We'll be talking to Brian about his years of officiating. Might even throw in some trick questions, so be ready, okay?
Great.
All right. First, let's do a little recapping. State volleyball from last weekend, Paul?
State volleyball, we had Bismarck Century stopped the West Fargo Cheyenne train. They were going for their third straight, and Century defeated them in four sets in the big school championship, 3-1. And it was Langdon area, speaking of trains, Langdon area Munich, and what is it? Well, I think it's just Langdon area Munich and volleyball. Then you got to add about three more for football.
Yeah.
But they'd beat South Prairie Max 3-1 in the Class A championship, all at the Fargo Dome. Good volleyball was played. Yeah. I watched some of that.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk about Valley City State, still with the cross country. Big weekend last weekend for
Nationals.
One of the runners.
You got it. Carly Just from Lemoore. I know you love people that come from Lemoore.
Yeah.
Ran the fastest time in school history in the NAI Women's Nationals. And she finished 76, which is the best place in over 30 years for a Viking. So she did pretty well. Now, it's sad because Jasmine Barnes had qualified.
Yeah.
But after the conference tournament, the conference meet, which was here in Valley City, they found out a little-known rule. We didn't have enough conference teams that had runners at the conference meet, so she was not able to go.
Oh.
Which is too bad.
That's too sad.
But Carly did go, and she did very well.
Okay.
22 minutes, 30 seconds, finishing 76th out of 327.
That's not too shabby.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. VCSU men's and women's basketball, they're cranking them out.
Men are 6-2 now after dropping their second in a row. Lost to Dakota Wesleyan last week. Women are 6-3. Women played Bemidji State in a exhibition game. Lost 64-61. Didn't count on either team's records. But they are both going to be back in action next week. Well, actually, this weekend, they're in Dickinson at the Dickinson State Thanksgiving tournament on the 29th and 30th, and both schools will be playing Montana State Northern and Rocky Mountain College, whom they'll see once they get into the Frontier next year. And then Trinity Bible comes to town on Tuesday.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm still disappointed when they took UND Ellendale away, and that was back in the early 70s. Anyway, high school wrestling, that's underway. Had the Lisbon tournament last weekend.
Girls had three that went undefeated, And of course, girls wrestling now, 11 on the varsity. 9 of them come from Valley City, and then Deacon Kirschman and Miley Christensen at Hale out of BCN. And Miley went 3-0. Victoria Sanchez went 3-0. Deegan went 2-0. The junior high also, the junior high and junior varsity wrestling was there as well for the boys and had a pretty good weekend as well. And they will start tonight as we talk here against Devil's Lake. Men, both boys and girls will be kicking off the EDC season tonight up in Devil's Lake.
Wow. Winter sports coming our way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about high school divisions and, again, high school football divisions. Just got done with, you know, the Dakota Bowl. I know we have a big vote coming up in December on the classification of each team. I know we've got some interest here with being Valley City. Are they going to be double A or are they going to be single A? That is the question.
Well, the proposal has them single.
Right.
They're in the single A.
Could that change?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. I think it'll be finalized. That'll be finalized December 5th. The North Dakota High School Activity Association will vote and finalize things here on the 5th. And if everything goes according to Valley City, if my numbers are correct, will either be number one. They will be the biggest A school with an adjusted enrollment about 135. And you got Hillsboro, Central Valley, Northern Calais, Ellendale, Edgley, Cullum, Montpelier, Lisbon, Mayport, Oaks. Sergeant Central is in this. Now, they're going up from Nyman up to Class A, and they are going to be the eighth largest school with their enrollment.
What about New Rockford? Where do they fit in this thing? Should they be up?
New Rockford, Cheyenne.
And Maddox.
And, yeah, New Rockford, Cheyenne, Maddox. They're still going to be in that,
that surprises
Nyman.
Me.
I'm just looking here, and it looks like they're still going to be in that. Yep, there they are, still in that Nyman.
Well, I was talking to Nyman people, and they were hoping they'd be shoved up, but we'll see what happens. Oh, goodness. Well, that's interesting stuff. You know, we went through that lower class back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a fun year, and Yanni can attest to that because he reffed some of those games, and it got kind of ugly.
Yeah.
You can jump in anytime.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Some of those smaller towns just don't like it when big old Valley City comes in, unfortunately.
I know.
A couple of interesting things, though, and you and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. Shanley, they are actually opting up because their enrollment has them at double A.
They could be double A.
Triple A.
Yeah.
Minot High is opting up as well. And opting down from triple A to double A will be Central and Red River.
Again.
Dickinson and Minot North. Both going to be dropping.
Isn't Minot North in there for 3 years?
They're in there for 3 years, yeah. So that's not really, but they still have to, we're going to opt down. But they got a couple more years left that they'll be double A.
Okay.
Can I share a funny story about this?
Definitely.
Opt up? So Shanley opted up. They want to play the larger division. When their first years and they were playing, I reffed a game and it was in Wimbledon. They were playing Griggs Barnes County. That was their co-op at the time. And Shanley came to town. And the football field in Wimbledon was in the middle of the field. And they had a little crow's nest up there, just enough for the guy at public address announce the scoreboard and maybe one coach. Well, Shanley rolls in with their 17 coaches they bring out there. They pulled the bus around behind the team bench, and the coaches climbed out of the roof hatch and got up on there so that they had their usual spots. They kicked an extra point that went so far it landed in the middle of a slough. We had to approve a second game ball because it took us like 20 minutes to find the ball.
Wow.
Wimbledon wasn't prepared for extra points then.
Right.
Yeah. And Shanley was not prepared for that kind of an atmosphere.
No. No.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Pretty good.
That is really good. Hey, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to check in with our guest, Yanni. We call him Yanni because that's what we did when he was in radio, you know, and so.
I don't know if he plays like Yanni, though.
Yes, I'm not
definitely not long.
You never know. You never know. We might have to bring in the instruments. First, a word from North Dakota Army National Guard.
Madison Schlager is our current, our new recruiter here in town, and we've touched base a couple of times, and she's going to be joining us here on the show sometime in December.
Cool.
Just got back from some maneuvers in Arkansas. And so, but of course, Army National Guard, you've got, you can be the enlisted soldier, you can be a commissioned officer, state tuition assistance for public and private institutions. Of course, the combined federal and state tuition assistance programs can cover up to 100% of tuition at North Dakota State supported schools. You go, you get money for going to school, you get a great career, and you come out an entirely different individual.
You do. Yeah. Growing up, most of the time, you grow up a little
you
bit.
You do. Yeah. And you're forced to grow up.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You got some sergeants out there that
yep.
make sure of that.
Lou Gossett Jr., I can just imagine.
Yeah. Reminds me of Gomer Pyle. Okay. North Dakota Army National Guard, thank you for sponsoring Toast and Jam.
We should give you the telephone numbers again.
Yeah,
you
do
call 1-800-GO-GUARD, 1-800-GO-GUARD, or locally 701-253-1030, or ndarmyguard.com.
Okay, Brian Yonish is our guest this week. Sporting a new job, too, by the way, with Farmers Union Insurance. Mm-hmm. How's that going for you, Brian?
Yeah, it's going well. I've been there since July, just getting my feet wet, getting an understanding of the insurance world, and getting to meet a lot of great people. So it's a lot of fun just to sit down with the clients, get to know them, who they are, and then, you know, have an opportunity to check their coverages and see how it's going for them. But, yeah, it's going real well. Like I said, half the year in now, and learning curve is still there, but it's a lot of fun to go to work every day.
Longtime official for football and basketball in North Dakota. How long you been officiating?
Yeah, I was trying to think this through last night because I knew that would be a question. it should be right at the top of my head. I think I just completed my 17th year of high school football.
You must have been about 12.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I usually keep track by how old my kids are.
There you go.
My daughter will be turning 18, and she had just, yeah. So anyway, 17 years and high school. I just completed I believe it was my 11th year of college football.
Okay.
Basketball, relatively new in the game still. I think this will be my 6th season coming up. I got roped into doing it after a handful of years. Todd Christensen, our assigner, I owed him one, and he said, well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start reffing junior high basketball games for me. I said, okay, whatever you need, Todd. And then it progressed, and now here I am gallivanting around the southeast part of North Dakota and those cold, blistery nights out there reffing some high school basketball.
What drove you to be an official?
I was going to say a Ford F-150 usually drives me to the game, but what drove me to be an official? So when I first started, I was a baseball player growing up, and I just got into umpiring right away. Mm-hmm. And then doing the summer Legion stuff, I got chatting with a few guys that were doing baseball, and they said, have you ever thought about doing football?
Mm.
I said, no, I haven't, but I enjoyed the camaraderie that came working two-man, three-man in baseball. And they said, well, there's five of us on the football field. So mm-hmm. I said, yeah, all right, I think I could do it. And they said, well, come along tomorrow night. We got a meeting in Jamestown. So I went to my first workshop after being talked into it about one day. So and then literally started the next week. The season started. And at that time, Valley City had 4 registered officials. So they wanted a fifth so they could cover varsity games. So I actually got talked into doing it, and about 2 weeks later, I was doing my first varsity game, and they said, well, you'll do back judge. It's pretty easy. Not much can happen back there, and not kidding you, the fourth play of the game was a punt, and it was muffed on inside the 5-yard line, and my heart is going so fast, and Marty Holkalter was coaching for Carrington, and he's one of the best, and they always said, don't worry, he doesn't yell much, but when he does, you better listen, and he's yelling because they didn't think his guy touched the ball, and so it sped up real fast on me.
Toughest part of being an official. What is that toughest part? Like you just mentioned, the coach is riding you. You got to make a decision. But what is the toughest part of being an official?
The toughest part of being an official is so there's multiple stages of being an official. We always say when you start officiating, you see nothing and you call nothing because it all happens so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Then after you've seen enough, you see everything and you call everything. Because now you've seen it, so you're going to call it. The toughest part of being an official is seeing it and then determining the impact of the play. So are we going to call it? Is there holding on every play in football? Yeah, there probably is.
Well, that was my next question.
Okay. I've heard it before, right? We have to determine the impact of the play. Mm-hmm. So the point of attack, you know, what kind of material restriction was gained. There's a term I use all the time, quality fouls. We want to find quality fouls, things that affected the play. Mm-hmm. Or player safety. When we, you know, have a player safety foul, we want to make sure that's there. But the hardest part is determining if the foul warrants a penalty, you know, in football or in basketball. And so you got to see a lot of plays, you know, and we don't always get that opportunity, right? You were at Friday night, and there's, I don't know, what, 150 plays on Friday night, and Saturday there may be 200. Well, you got to watch another 1,000 plays a week of film just to train your mind to see these things, and then you can determine on the fly because it happens pretty fast.
Which would you rather officiate, high school or college?
They're different.
Speed.
You know, the reason is different. High school sports is so genuine and so, Friday night is something special, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care where you're working. You can be in the middle of a field in Wimbledon. You can be working the Dakota Bowl at the Fargo Dome. Friday nights are special. And you can't recreate that. Now, college football is a different level. It's a different speed. That's why it's my favorite. College football is my favorite. Okay. And to be honest with you, I mean, coaches lose jobs when they don't win. You know, players may transfer if it's not successful. So I always say it's our job to make sure that we don't help decide one of those things, force one of those things to happen.
Right.
So it's a different level of pressure on Saturdays than Fridays. But I don't know if you can recreate a Friday night light. So when you get that later in the year, when it starts to get dark, we're under lights, got that coolness, crisp in the air, and the school band is playing. I mean, that's
everybody's involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the years, what things have changed during football games to make your job easier and or more difficult?
Sure.
What's changed out there?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we utilize in football that has made life so much easier in technology is we use what we call O2O communication, official to official communication, basically little walkie-talkies. Mm-hmm. We have little earpieces in. We talk to each other. And that can help our communication to a whole new level, not just for us, but how we communicate with coaches and players. You could have a defensive pass interference in one corner of the field, and that coach on the other side of the field, that's his sideline, he wants to know why that was called. And a good official can always communicate. Now, I always tell coaches before the game, we'll communicate with you. It's up to you to decide what you do with that information, if you like it or don't like it. That's on you. But if we aren't communicating with you, that's on us. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting the information you need, you let me know. So the O2O communication, these walkie-talkies, has made that piece so much easier. If you can't communicate with a coach or a player or, I mean, heaven forbid you have an issue with a player, maybe he's getting a little pushy after plays, we can now communicate, hey, somebody let coach know that player X needs to calm down a little bit. That way, if it escalates later, we've had the opportunity to try to diffuse those things.
So what would you say to coaches and parents who like to give the officials an earful during games?
Well, you know,
you get it from the stands, too.
Yeah, I think so. I've heard that a few times. Yeah, funny story there.
A pair of glasses.
My daughter came to a game, and it was a college game here in town, and she was like 6 or 7. And My wife brought her, and I was referee, and they left at halftime, not because of anything or good or bad, but they went out to Grandma's house, and Grandma said, oh, how's your dad doing? And she said, well, they don't like him much. They're booing a lot. when you're working in your local community, they know your name, too, so the Yannis come out hard there. You know, go back to your question. If I could tell a fan or a parent one thing is, we don't care who wins. We don't care who wins. Right. We want to be good, right? We all have goals, aspirations to do, you know, playoff games, the Dakota Bowl, you know, playoff games in college, move up levels, become a Division I official. Those are all of our dreams. So we're not going to go out there and make a call because we don't want somebody to win. I mean, I always tell our guys, I consider us the third team. And I want to have the best day out there. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Team A wants to win. Team B wants to win. I want to win. I want to have the best game. Now, we don't get on the scoreboard, but getting in the way or messing things up, now that means we've lost points. So let's just be good. Try to win the game today.
And how many parents have had the experience of reffing a game? Not many.
Correct.
You know,
and that's the old adage of why don't you come on down and do it with us? You know, and I get it. On Friday nights, I mean, every fan knows NFL rules, right? And because they watch it on Sunday and they get, but there's a, they're so different. Friday is one rule book, Saturday is one rule book, Sunday is a different rule book. So to try to understand that all, I had a high school coach chewing me out because the on a punt, he got rough, he was on defense roughing the punter, and on the snap was low and it skipped off the ground. And then the punter picked it up, kicked it, and got ran into, so we called roughing the punter. He said, no, the snap hit the ground. And after I realized what he was saying, I said, Coach, that's a rule on Sundays.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a rule on Friday or Saturday. You know, like, I don't know where you're getting. So, you know, sometimes coaches don't even know the rules either. Right?
Yeah. Have you ever had to get your team together to reverse a call that eventually decided the outcome of a game?
I don't know that we've ever reversed a call. I mean, we've had big ones.
Or had to make a call at the end of a game?
Yeah, right. So we had, it was a handful of years ago. We had a play. It was getting close to the goal line. We blew it down, and it was right at the end of the game. And as we blew it down, the player spun out of the tackle and ended up in the end zone. But we had blown it down.
Okay.
And therefore, it's an inadvertent whistle in football. So we had to replay the down.
Okay.
The team ended up scoring on the replay down. So it was really good for one team, not great for the other.
That's when you dash off the field.
Yeah, the AD was waiting for us in the corner that night. Not ideal, right? That's the worst thing to happen to any official. I can guarantee you the official that had the whistle felt the worst of anybody, right? You know, last thing you want to do, like, I kind of chuckled when you asked if I wanted to be on the podcast because usually as an official, your number one goal is to not be noticed. I mean, outside of when they announce our names before the game, I don't want anybody to know I'm there. Yeah. And then I thought, here I am going to go on a nationally acclaimed show like Toast and Jam internationally, thank you to our friends in Canada.
Giving up all your secrets.
And talking about being an official. But, you know, if we can get out of there without people knowing. One time when I was very new in this, I was at Leavers on Saturday morning after a Friday night game, and a parent goes, hey, why'd you guys call that pass interference last night? You know, I didn't think he touched him. And I was like, well, I'm just grabbing a donut here with my daughter. Let me help you out here, Dad. And then, you know, I've had it the other side. I've been on Monday, I've run into somebody in town, and they were like, hey, did you see that VCSU game on Saturday? And I was the back judge. I was thinking, yeah, I did. And he said, I don't know why they called that pass interference. And I thought, well, I threw that flag. So it goes both ways, right? Yeah. Sometimes people know you're out there. Sometimes they don't. Ideally for an official, we get in and out and they don't know we're there.
Well, and you probably had a better view I told that
to a dad one time at a baseball game. I said, we had a tournament coming up. I said, but our home plate umpire is going to sit back here in the third row because you seem to have a great view of the ball and strike zone from back here.
Well, I've always said when I was doing games, I'll now see the officials before the game, but if I don't say their name again, for the rest of the game, it was a well-called game because they're not part of the action. They were not part of it. I might say, well, so-and-so's over talking to the coach. Okay, that might be one thing, but you don't want to be part of the game.
Yeah, and if you called every play, every holding call or whatever, we'd be there till Saturday morning.
Yeah, and, you know, those things, I don't know if you guys watched the Monday night game last night on TV, but they snowball on you, right? You call one pass interference, now you've got two, you've got three. And I'm not saying we tried not to, but when it's big and it has to be called, we want to call it. When it's small or marginal, let's try to let it go, and so they don't compound on you.
And it seems when they got your number, they got your number. I got a question for you. Watching Minnesota state championships, they had the lines in at the dome for nine-man football. Are all football fields supposed to be the same width?
You know, I know in Minnesota they have made the nine-man field smaller for the nine-man game.
How about North Dakota hasn't, though?
No, we play the same field. So usually there was a time, and I don't watch as much Minnesota League. There was Nyman was literally 3 yards of cloud of dust because it's tighter.
Less,
in North Dakota, some teams started spreading it out, and now those teams score 50 points because they got less people, more space. So a 9-man game, you can get a workout in getting up and down the field. They score a lot more here.
Yeah, it used to be 80 yards too, I think, in Minnesota. The 9-man field was 80 yards.
Oh, sure.
Shorter.
In the 70s and 80s,
Okay, well, I was wondering about that. What about college and pro football? They're the same, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. The only thing would change would be the width of the goal post gets narrower the higher levels you go. So Friday nights into Saturdays into Sundays, they get narrower, which then in turn the hash mark in the middle of the field, they get narrower. So the NFL tries to keep things pretty consistent and kind of everything's ran from the middle of the field. Now, high school, they get wider. So you can get a tight, and then you can get a wider side. So it kind of allows you that freedom on that.
So they're all the same. High school, college football, pro football, all the same.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. We hear about the shortage of officials. Why is that? Shortage of officials. We're always looking for more officials.
Yeah. We'll go back to the question of if you ever hear the fans. No, you know, I've worked with some people. They were new. They just said, man, this ain't worth it. Right. But it's stressful. And I'm not going to say it's all because of the fans and the heckling that you get as an official. It's important. The job we do, it's not you go out there and as a hobby. It's a job. I mean, we get paid for it. Mm-hmm. So it's a job. I think, you know, I talk about film work and watching plays. I mean, I probably have done 30 football games this fall between high school, college, even JV. We watch every snap of every play. You go back and you got to watch yourself. So you go on YouTube, you got to go find the game, you got to go watch it. Some guys don't, that's not why they do it. You know, they want to go out there for the Friday night or whatever it may be. They're not going to last, right? You got to love what you do, the passion of why we're out there. Why are we out there? We're out there to keep it clean and help find a winner. And there's a lot goes into it. A lot goes into it. You can ask my wife how much film I watch.
I bet.
She's ready for the football season to wind down because every night about 8 o'clock, I just sit down at the laptop and start watching film and get a couple hours a day in. So by the time we get to a game, say a college game on Saturday, I've already got 10 hours into that game, not including driving there or anything like that, you know.
So the lights go out in a football game. Is that your call? Is that the referee call?
Gee, what are you referencing?
Is that your call, or do you talk to the coaches about that and say, hey, you know, do you want to continue this game for the safety of the kids?
Yeah, ultimately we have to come to an agreement. I don't believe it's my decision as the referee. I think you got to work with game administration. Is there a way to fix this? Can we get this working? Ultimately, if it's not going to happen, then we got to work with the coaches to find a common agreement. I had a game years ago, we were in Buffalo doing a
not New York,
a Maple Valley Enderlin game, and there one half of the field the lights went out, so we actually only played on one half of the field.
Anytime we see you do
the offense crossed the 50, we just turned and went the other way. Now, if it was an interception or a kick, punt return or something, then it went into the dark side of the field.
Right.
We just kept it going, but
sure.
We played it all on one side of the field. Now, that was the only time I encountered that until I turned on some video this fall, and I thought, wow, this field is really dark. And, they decided to play into it. And, you know, they always say cameras make it look different than it is. I don't know. But
before we wrap it up here, I'm going to give you a scenario. And that was this weekend, Arizona State, BYU. Did you see that game?
Yeah, you know, I was
the
watching
end of the
that.
Game.
Yeah.
They had 1 second. They stopped the game and said, hey, we have 1 second left. And and Arizona State was up 28-23. And Arizona State, or BYU, had the ball with 1 second left at about the 50 or whatever.
Sure, yep.
So all the fans come onto the field. The goalposts are going down.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a little tough to get
handled the review process with probably 5,000 students circled around them?
Yeah,
it was one of the most bizarre scenes I've seen. And I think to myself, luckily, I don't officiate in front of 100,000 people because you can't control the masses when there's that many people, right? Yeah, that was just nuts.
And then getting them back into the stands or back on the side to finish off the game. That was like crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, replay. You asked earlier about advancements in technology. I mean, replay in college football, even here in the NAIA level, is we have it now, right? So I've had it where we've had looks, if call was right. We've had it where we've overturned. I've had it where it wasn't working correctly, and we go do it, and it doesn't work. I will say that
not
that
your
is
fault,
not my fault, not the officiating crew's fault. It's the home team administration. Mm-hmm. So when the home team challenges a call, and you go over, and the replay doesn't work, it's truly they got to figure it out.
Right.
So replay in football, and I watch NFL, and I was trying to look at the intricacies of the officiating side, and they now have a. What do they call it? The sky ref or, the ref in the box, replay assist. And, I think they give them a lot of help out there. But we need it, right? This weekend, we're going to we have a crew of guys that's going to Butte, Montana to work a NAI playoff game, a second round playoff game.
Okay.
And we have an alternate official, essentially an eighth set of eyes, right? I mean, it's just these games are more important. We need more people out here looking. And take any of the help you can get. And I'm not against replay in any means.
Mm-hmm.
When it's big and it needs to help, that's why it's there.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Okay. Anything for him, Paul?
One thing that fans need to understand, two things possibly, that I have said on air. A, you're human. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect in what you do.
Right.
But the speed of the game, that's one of the things why. Well, how did he miss that? Well, it's a lot faster. We could have Dave Carlsrud sitting here, and he could say, from when he started back in the 1800s to where it's now.
1800s.
Well, okay, whatever. But, I mean, the speed of the game, too. Even in the 17 years that you've been doing it, you have seen the athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. The speed of the game is just ridiculous.
Even at the high school level, it's faster.
You know, you're saying the athletes. I mean, you used to have a stud running back and you gave him the ball 40 times a game and hope he broke a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now there's four or five options on every team and they spread it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the spread offense in high school football. Well, sometimes it makes for a really long Friday night when the ball falls incomplete a lot. But man, there used to be times where you'd maybe see 10 passes a night. Now you see, they throw 20, 30 times a game.
Yeah. Back in the day when you caught 20 passes for the season, that was a big year.
Yeah. Absolutely, right? And then, the Valley City hosted a playoff game, and, Bryson Heck was West student athlete nominee, and the running back from Wapton was the East. I mean, that was pretty good athletes out there that night.
That was a marquee matchup right there.
And they're all over on Friday nights these days. And that's made Saturdays that much more fun as well. I mean, you watch some of these local kids that you see out here. I mean, the Dickinson State's making another run in the NAI playoffs. They got a kid from Bismarck playing quarterback that he's just a gamer. He is.
How did he get away from some of the bigger schools?
You know, he spent a little time at Northern State, I know. Wasn't working his way up. And however, Coach Stanton talked him into coming out to Dickinson, and it's where he's been there as long as
he's
I've been.
He's a schmoozer. He can schmooze you pretty good.
And now that they're heading into, they won their first round game last week, and they're playing again this week. So
Hank has got to be happy about that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well,
I think, but
no. If people want to become officials, I mean, that's something. How can they become officials?
Yeah, you just gotta. The first thing and most important thing, you just got to reach out to anybody that you know that's doing it, right? If you're at a game and you think, man, I would like to help with this, just stick around and wait for the guys to come out. Ask the athletic director. We can always call the High School Activity Association. They can get you in contact with somebody locally. In North Dakota, local associations, get their own games, assign their own games. So the High School Activity Association helps with registration, and then they do playoffs. But they can absolutely get you in contact with an official in the area. for instance, here in basketball, Lance Lukes is our local assigner for our Valley City Association. I mean, he does a great job of going out and getting younger guys games at the junior high, C squad levels, goes and reviews them, you know, gives them tips, gives them notes. Yep. I mean, so it's, we don't just throw you to the wolves and say, good luck. You know, we try to bring you up. And in all the sports here in Valley City, I know we got guys that have college experience. So the goal is every new official, we're going to get you up to that level. How do we do that? Well, we work with you. We educate you. We help teach you philosophies and mechanics that are overlooked by many that don't get it, don't do it. But so, you know, there's a lot of officials out there, but the average age of officials is going up. Yeah. And so we would really like to find some newer guys. If you're college students, we got a freshman in college did some junior high football with us this year, JV football, and he's going to be a good official if he sticks around. He just has the makeup to do it. And so we've got to keep giving him games so he sticks around.
Cool. FCS football playoffs. Got those all lined up. Montana State, number one seed. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I do.
I don't think that conference is as tough as the Missouri Valley, but
you got to beat the teams on your schedule.
Well, I guess so. And then you've got NDSU at what, number two?
Number two. Yeah.
That was a heck of a finish their game last week.
Yeah.
Jackrabbits number three.
Yep.
And then you got South Dakota number four. So South Dakota State will meet up if they win, and NDSU and Montana State would meet up if they win. In the semis.
Sure.
So, what do you think there, Paul?
Because they're on opposite brackets. So, I mean, you could have one versus two.
Yeah.
You could have three versus four.
Right.
It's going to be I liked the FCS. You know, I'm looking at it right here. And it's going to be a fun postseason. I like the way they do it. 24 teams.
Yep.
Top four get byes, and then 5 through 16 play. And then, you know,
I'd love to see the upper division get to that point. I really would. It'll take a few years, I'm sure.
It will.
Yeah, but it's going to be great this year with the 12.
Well, the 12 is great.
It's going to be a great tournament.
Yeah, how fun are those games going to be?
No kidding.
Very good.
And then we got the Minnesota Vikings. I tell you what, the quietest 9-2 in the NFL right now, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Nobody's giving these guys any credit.
No. I was watching the Packer game?
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, you know, the Lions are 10-1. Packers now can go to 8-3. They're still in third place, people. You're forgetting one other team there.
They don't even acknowledge the Minnesota Vikings.
What's not quiet about this Vikings team is their fans while watching games. Right? I can hear my father-in-law from his living room to my living room and all the way until the end of the game. And then how'd they win this game? But they're making you sweat it out.
They are.
They could have ended that game a lot quicker on Sunday, but it is the NFL. It is the North Division. And we just, you know, they're always going to be close games against the Bears, the Lions, the Packers.
No, correct.
It's a tough division.
Got the Cardinals this weekend.
That's
then
not
going to
be
Falcons.
Easy. Cardinals are fighting for a spot, too.
Yeah, they are.
So, but it's at home.
The next three are at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could make or break the playoffs for us, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. We end with Green Bay
and
Detroit the last 2 weeks. I'd love to see that go down to that, huh? This day in sports. As
what
we kind of wrap things up, on this day, 1960, before his time, Brian.
Before mine, too.
No.
Yes.
Really?
1960. Yeah,
okay.
It was before me.
Well, anyway, Minneapolis-St. Paul Baseball Club takes the name Twins on this day, 1960. First season was 61. 1963, 29th Heisman Trophy Award. Any guesses?
1963
went to Navy. He was
playing for Roger Staubach.
Yes, it was. 1963 also, Cincinnati Reds second baseman Pete Rose wins the NL Rookie of the Year. 1968, 34th Heisman Trophy Award.
68.
Running back, Southern Cal.
Well, it could be Davis. Garrett. Mike Garrett?
1968.
Or is that O.J.?
O.J.
It's Rental James.
Yes.
All right.
In 1975, we got to throw this in for Eric. Boston Red Sox center fielder Fred Lynn becomes the first rookie ever to be named American League MVP. Pretty impressive on this day in sports. Sports birthdays today, a few. Born on this day, 1943, Jan Stenerud.
The other Jani.
Probably one of the first soccer-style kickers in the NFL,
probably.
Would you say?
I would say.
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs.
And Vikings.
And Vikings. On this day, 67 years ago, 1956, Dale Jarrett, American auto racer.
Mm-hmm.
And on this day, 1960, Harold Reynolds was born, American baseball infielder, and now broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it, birthdays. You have any birthdays?
I don't know.
Okay.
No. All me right. personally, no. Not
I've got
May.
One in my house today. My son turns 15 today.
Oh, you got a 15
Happy birthday, Ryder.
There you go.
There we go. That's
so what is he going to,
cool.
any special plans for his 15th?
Pizza Corner.
Pizza Corner.
Pizza Corner.
Is he going to drive there? Did he get his permit yet?
No, not yet. No, no, we're not doing that yet.
That's pretty cool. We're up to trivia now, brought to you by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. You can plug your ears now. Oh, no.
Officiating. Yeah. He's going to throw a flag for illegal use of commercials.
Yeah. Penalty.
Chris is a great guy,
and
he's a loud dad when his kids are playing the games I'm officiating.
Passionate.
Okay. Very passionate. Absolutely. Well, of course, if you're going to get all those eggs in one basket, get them insured by a company you can trust, like Nodak Insurance Company. The more you insure with Nodak, the more you save. Home, vehicles, business, everything that you care about. At a price that won't break you. He is the agent with answers, Chris Quilvang, 845-2912. That's 845-2912.
Thank you, Chris. We had this question last week. Which of these college Hall of Fame basketball coaches was born in North Dakota? Lute Olson, Judd Heathcote, Dale Brown, or all of the above? Brian, you want to take a shot at it?
I'm going to say Lute Olson.
You know what? It was all three.
Oh.
Lute Olson and...
I was pretty sure of yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lute Olson, Dale Brown, Minot.
They're Minot boys.
And Judd Heathcote, Harvey.
Harvey, North Dakota. Oh. Yep. He grew up elsewhere.
Yeah.
But he was born in Harvey.
They moved out west.
Yeah.
But he was born in North Dakota.
Yeah, moved out to the Seattle area.
Now, this week's trivia. Oh, boy.
Here we go.
This is a good one. I did this just for Brian, because I know he's going to be here. Okay. Which official junction, I'm going to back up. It is a football trivia question. Which official functions as the backup timekeeper? Is it the head linesman, line judge, umpire, or field judge? Which official functions as the backup timekeeper? I don't know. Maybe it would be different with NFL and high school, but this is NFL.
Okay. I was going to say college football, it's side judge. So I know you weren't going NCAA manual there.
Yep. Yep.
This is NFL. Okay. This is NFL. I believe this would be NFL.
Yeah.
So which official functions as the backup timekeeper? Head linesman, line judge, umpire, and field judge. We'll give you the answer next week. Don't answer it yet.
Okay. You can go to toastandjam.com and you can fill in your answers.
That's right.
We'll see if anybody got it right.
And that is our weekly trivia question, brought to you by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. Words of wisdom, since your son is 15 today, maybe this, you might want to pass. This is for students. Be yourself. Do things you want to do and don't change who you are to fit in. That makes sense?
Makes very good sense.
Growing up, it was tough.
Yeah, put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, be yourself. Mm-hmm. I know it's so hard to follow, but, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have to change. Just be yourself. And a lot of kids just struggle with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they do.
But, do things you want to do and don't change who you are to fit in.
There's a lot of adults that have problems with that, too.
I know, yeah.
That it, eh?
It is, you know, some heavy thoughts today. I know thoughts on my mind. Tony Bender passed away. We lost Tony on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Tony and I worked together in radio for a few years and always stayed friends.
Mm-hmm.
He got into the paper industry. Great writer. And I always told him that. I said, you know, Tony, you're in the wrong industry. You're a writer. And he wrote a couple of books. He did the column for the Form. Weekly column, and he did one for us as well at Valley City Times Record. But genuine person. I remember when I had the retirement party at KOVC. Who was there? Tony Bender. And he was a super friend, and he will be missed.
You had him on every morning.
I did. I had
one day a week, I think.
One day a week, yeah. We had him Tony on the air once a week and would always inspire us with his words of wisdom, too.
Herding cats. That was one of his big lines. He says, I'm sorry I'm late. I was herding cats this morning.
He loved cats.
He did.
He had a ton of cats. I don't know. And even in the, we used to live together. We lived together for a while in a trailer, and he had like two or three cats. So I had to learn to live with cats. But we used to do dances, high school dances, wedding dances, with the records, spun the records back in the day. He had this Mercury Marquis, big old boat. We had that thing loaded down. Front was up. We looked like the Blues Brothers were coming into town. But I had a lot of fun with Tony, and Tony, he will be missed. Good friend. And Joni Martin, I hope you're getting better.
Yeah, back in town.
Back in town at Mercy Hospital.
Okay.
Fighting some cancer issues, and we hope Joni's doing well and getting on the mend.
Absolutely. We should almost try to go see her. We got to go see her together.
Yeah, we do. She
would love that.
She'd be dancing. Remember her dancing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She used to dance at our Christmas parties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And do the splits.
I could. I'm saying no thank you.
Oh, man. I'm going, woman, you're going to kill yourself. And still thoughts and prayers with our good buddy up north in Mayville, Scott Berry, who is also battling cancer at this time, too. Haven't heard much
been
from
quiet.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, from that camp. So
Which is maybe a good thing.
Yeah. No news is good news.
Exactly.
As they say. There it is. That is our toast and jam for this week. Happy Thanksgiving, Brian, Paul, Jam.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. Again, our podcast sponsored by North Dakota Army National Guard, our trivia sponsor, Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. Thanks to our executive producer, Eric Kringley. Don't eat too much turkey. Is that good for you, turkey? Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
It helps you sleep.
It does. There's
that
something
in it. It's that tryptophan.
Yeah, it is. Paul, any closing thoughts?
Nope. Are you cooking for Thanksgiving? No.
I am not allowed in the kitchen.
That's good. It's probably a good thing.
That is what Nancy does, and she does it really well. Yeah. No, I think we're going to be visiting Paul, the other Paul.
The other Paul, yes.
In Fargo, and he's going to be throwing up the big turkey, him and Jenny. So from the 10, did you know how we got 1047 Studios? You want to know?
Yes.
We always let our guests know.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
See the clock up there? What time is it?
It is 1047.
It stays that way.
All right.
No, nope.
It's close now.
It is 1047.
It's almost close.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, goodness. From the 1047 Studios, Toast and Jam saying bye-bye for now. And again, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.